Congregation, let us first read from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52, questions 127 through 129 on page 87. Which is the sixth petition? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, and beside this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh cease not to assault us, that thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. How dost thou conclude thy prayer? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That is, all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. And all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name, may be glorified forever. Question 129. What does the word Amen signify? Amen signifies it shall truly and certainly be. For my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. So far. Fighting temptations is the theme for tonight. Three thoughts. Why do we need to fight? Why? Why that need and encouragement, fight a good fight and fight against all those temptations? Why do we need to fight? Secondly, how do we need to fight? Are there certain weapons? Is there advice on how to be engaged in the warfare? How to fight? And in the third place, what the reward is of such a fight. Fighting temptations, why do we need to fight? How do we need to fight? And what is the reward of such a fight? Congregation, our context, our Heidelberg Catechism speaks of a spiritual warfare, of a fighting, of a strife. And let me say this, God's children are supposed to be at war their whole entire life. They'll be at war their whole life. They have never vacation of that. They can never sit back, never say, I have some time off now. It's always fighting. You say, well, that does not sound very good. That sounds awful. That's not attractive. Don't say that. Always fighting, always doubting, always strive, always problem, always darkness. I didn't say that. We have to distinguish between two types of fighting. You know, Thomas was doubting, right? He could not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen. He set certain conditions. I first need to see this and feel that. He stood in the way of himself. That's an illegal fight. It's the fight of doubting. But think of a child of God assured of salvation. There is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. People of God assured. Think of them assured, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Think of a child of God so really assured by the Holy Spirit can say, Abba, Father. Even that person, for a whole week, no doubt, for a whole week, maybe a month, so close, no questions about that. But at the same time, fighting. So joyful, assured, and yet fighting. You know, fighting sometimes, the war sometimes refers to justification. Not being able to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice is sufficient, and that I am invited, and I may come without money, without price, resisting that. That's one fight. That's a fight that should not be there. It is reality that there is that fight, but it shouldn't be there. But it's also a fight regarding sanctification. And that is what our forefathers are talking about. That's what the Lord Jesus spoke of, and he told the disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So why is that? Why do they need to ask that? For different reasons. Satan attempts and tries and attacks God's people so that we alert, as Satan is alive, as God is testing them, as the heart of man is wicked, as the world is enticing, as people can have the wrong influence on God's people. I mentioned five things. Let's go over those things. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, not even a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our flesh, cease not to assault us. You know, in our time and age, people have a problem with God. His existence. I can't believe that. Something invisible in control of everything that does not fit in our minds today. But angels is even more problematic. And devils, really? Do you believe in devils? Do you believe that there is a Satan, an avenger, a Satan attacking God's people with all his cohorts, with all his sub-devils under him? Is reality. It's reality. The Bible says so. Let me show you. Be sober. Calm down. Don't always try to have so much. Be sober. Not only in drinking and everything. Be sober and vigilant, alert. Because your adversary, your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, lurking, stalking, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That Satan is alive and walking around God's people and walking around the church and walking around young friends and trying to see if there is someone weak and someone not alert, and he grabs them and he devours them if he gets the chance. It's reality. So young people, with all the temptation in this life and world, and older ones, be alert and say, Lord, lead me not into temptation, because Satan is after me. He is looking for his chance, and he is a liar, and he is a murderer, and he is a deceiver. He is reality. He is absolute reality. John 8. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. You look like him. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Lying, deceiving, murdering. He loves it to attack young people with temptations like he did Eve in paradise and Adam. And they ate, they fell, they were deceived by Satan. He's still the same. He's still holding out that fruit. Still holding it out to young people all around. Look at this. This is so delicious. This is so good. Try it. Try this sin. It tastes delicious. It's good for you. You gain from that. And he makes it look like so good and so beautiful that you begin to believe him. He's smart. Very cunning. Very deceptive. Neither give place to the devil, I read in Ephesians 4. Don't give him a place. Stay away from him. Don't listen to that voice say, I'm not going to listen to you. Resist him. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. If he knows this is no prey for me, they resist me, he will go. He will flee. But you have to resist him. Flee from him. So that's the first reason. To fight. To watch and pray. Satan is reality. And murders people. You know, I still remember as a child sitting in church and a minister talking about the devil. And he said something I never forget anymore. He said, Satan tells you, try it. It's good. This sin is good, try it. Your father, your mother don't know, they won't find out. Just try it. And if you've tried it, he laughs. He says, you went too far. You went too far. Now there is no forgiveness anymore. And he makes you feel bad. And despondent, and he discourages you. So don't buy that. And he comes with a smile on his face. He's so mean, he wants to murder you. Keep it in mind. Sometimes combined with this is the Lord God himself testing people. Think of David, who was tempted to count the people. And in one place in the Bible it says Satan tempted. Another place the Lord tried him. Sometimes the Lord allows Satan to attack, to test his people. Like Abraham, testing Abraham. Abraham, sacrifice your son Isaac. It was not tempting to sin, but tempting in a different sense. Same word used, by the way. Testing him. So he's testing his people still. Trying them out. Making them stronger. Receiving more honor and glory. But also that old man. You know, God's children have a new heart. They have no stony heart anymore. They have a heart of flesh, right? And different people. Regenerated. Born again. Quite dramatic. Born again. Made over. Renewed in the spirit. A different will. They were dead and they're alive. That's all true. But yet something remains there in them. That old nature is still alive. There are two men. Two people, two identities almost. And the one in me fights against the other me. Two me's. And that is called the flesh. Our own flesh. He came to the disciples and they fell asleep. He found them. And he said, Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit, he continued, the Spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. See that? So God's children are not completely renewed yet. They're forgiven, they're God's people, they're saved. They're not done yet. They can't say, I don't have to fight anymore. I'm forgiven. I don't sin anymore. They can't say that. Some say, some perfectionists say that God's people don't sin anymore. What do you mean? They still have that flesh, those weaknesses, and that's hard. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God. You know, to stand there in peace, you need to fight. Most famous chapter on this subject is Romans 7, right? You know the chapter. For I know that by experience, the apostle said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, I'm not talking about the new man, no, I'm talking about in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Right. It's God's work. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't. I try. I have a will to do good. I don't want to sin, but I do. I really don't want to sin, but I do. It's weakness. It's not on purpose. It's not evil. It's not sin the same sense anymore. It's a different type of sinning. It's a sinning against my will. Now, if I do that I would not, if I do what I don't want to do, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So the apostle says, in me does not live, is not any good, in my flesh. But he says, in a sense, that's not me. But I see another law in my members. A law. What's a law? You know, the law is the Ten Commandments of the laws, right? There's also another law, the law of gravity. If I throw a stone in the air, it comes back. That's the law. That's the inclination to be attracted to the earth. And so, sin is also a law. Something that draws people, something that's in people. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then the Apostle Paul, assured of his salvation and peace with God, says at the same time, O wretched man that I am. He's not doubting. He is not fighting in that sense that he is doubting. He believes in the Lord and in forgiveness. But at the same time, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death. He wants to be delivered from that body. What body? His body? His natural body? No, that's not what he means. The body of death is that same old man that he carries along everywhere he goes. Old body, old man, the flesh is that weakness in him. So why do God still need to fight? Satan attacks, the Lord tests, and they themselves are weak. They can't stand even a moment. Without God's help, they just fall again into sin. That's what it is like. You see it everywhere in Scripture. It's also the world. The world as culture, as a world of certain customs, and this life is enticing, and the customs and the tradition of this life and world, and the influence of the world, of mankind. Don't be like them. Keep your distance. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God's children, and in a sense all of us, are called to crucify the old nature and to crucify also the world. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So it's a separation. I'm crucified to the world to me. Keep the world at a distance. That's why we have our own school, right? So our young friends are not so influenced by the world. But now we need also to protect them at home as well, for the world. So think, parents, how can you protect children, young friends from the world? Speak to them. Have the proper measurements, the proper tools in mind, also filters, you name it. It's dangerous. Think also of friends. You know, Psalm 1 verse 1, we all often sing it. You know by heart, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. First you walk by, then you stand still, and then you sit down with them. And they influence you, your friends. Especially if you follow the example of the king of Israel, Jeroboam, Ahab, walk in the ways of their father. Think of this king. Came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Abel, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Who you marry is also important. You can have a good influence. You can also receive a bad influence. You can also be of bad influence to him, to her. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. The wrong friends, refrain your foot from their path. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. So there is a need to fight. There's no time for that tonight. I'll only summarize it. But it's very interesting that our forefathers wrote about this in the Canons of Dort. In the fifth head of doctrine, on page 112, recommended to read tonight and this week. But let me just summarize a few of those articles. The Lord delivers from the dominion of sin. That tyranny of sin, he delivers from the dominion of sin, from the slavery of sin, but he does not deliver from the body of sin as long as I live. And consequently, daily spring up saints. Daily, every day something springs up. And that's a reason for constant humility. To keep God's children down. That they won't fly away in pride. I'm so converted. Lord keeps his people close to him. They must fight against sin. And he keeps them low. Reasons for constant humiliation and for constant daily flying for refuge to Christ crucified. So that's real life of God's people being delivered from the tyranny and the slavery of sin, but still the suffering of the body of sin, being humbled by that. And daily taking refuge to Christ. So Christ becomes more and more precious. And yet they can fall, I'm just following those articles, yet they can fall into great and heinous sins. God's people can. And they highly offend God. God's people. Highly offend God, think of the Apostle Peter. And they grieve the Holy Ghost. And they interrupt the exercise of faith. They can't believe anymore. The doubting starts again. Something else comes in. And they can lose the sense of God's favor for a time. So-called the sense of God's favor gone. And they must repent again and seek salvation again in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they must fight. But constantly and strenuously may resist our foes. Constantly and strenuously. Strenuously. Unto blood. Not just little fight and play fight. It's a serious fight, striving unto blood. He that thinketh, he standeth, take heed lest he fall. It's an absolute necessity to fight, to persevere. But how do we need to fight? Some practical advice for fighting, how to fight, what weapons to use, what type of attitude, some ideas. Next thought, how we need to fight. Now you tell me, what do you have in mind? What's the first thing that comes to your mind in fighting the good fight of faith? Fight, fight hard, resist, flee. It is right, prayer. Prayer is so important. Prayer is not only important for salvation in the sense of receiving forgiveness and receiving God's help, but also, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. To pray against yourself, Lord, don't allow me. Lord, let me resist it. Lord, let me not give in. Lord, deliver me from that power of sin. I don't want to. Deliver me, I pray thee, Lord. I quoted the text already, I do it again. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray. Do you pray? How much time do you pray a day? Do you take your time to lay before the Lord? Pray. Without ceasing, always, constantly and strenuously and fervently and seriously, take your time and pray also in between your whole day. know, sometimes there's background music, right? In an office or at home, background music. Personally, I don't like it, but some people like background music. So have that prayer in the background. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Pray always, without ceasing. Secondly, I say it a little different than I said before, like this. Stare at Jesus Christ. Stare at him. Look, keep looking. Look and look again and stare at the Lord Jesus Christ and consider who he is and try to think of him in his humble birth, in his conception in the womb. Think of him living on earth, having no sin, and the Father stating, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Think of the Lord Jesus Christ having no sin. He knew no sin. Contemplate, meditate, stare at him. Especially you are attacked or something. You feel, oh, there it is. Look away and look at that picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet, the priest, the king, glorious at the right hand of the Father. Meditate on that. Meditate on God's omnipresence. You know, many sins are committed in secret. Your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, your children are not supposed to see it, to know it. You're hiding it. And you think you can. For God, you cannot. There's no way you can flee. You can't escape. The eyes will always follow you, wherever you are, whatever you do. Think of that. Don't become a practical atheist. You say you believe in God, but practically you don't believe in him because he doesn't play a role in your life. He's not there, you think. Consider death. I must die. You too. Think of that, of your last hour. And think of the time of your departure, that you must stand before the Son of God to give account. Those eyes are looking at you. Think of death, or being prepared for death, or not being prepared, what it will be like. Think of hell. Think of forgiveness. Forgiveness? How is it going to help? Think of forgiveness, that's the opposite of thinking of hell and punishment. Yes, I know. But as I said before, Satan likes it to make people so feel so discouraged that they don't care anymore and just keep sinning, whatever, I don't care anymore. There's no forgiveness in me anyway. That trap, that rot, I tell you, there is forgiveness. It's possible. The Lord still holds out grace to you and says, let the wicked leave his way. So don't buy that from Satan. He tries to discourage you. There is forgiveness. Seek to live a holy life. But also think of the forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Read your Bible. Our Puritans read the Bible and their families in 1 year. Several chapters a day was part of their life. At the table often, with the family. And they just took their time. It was their custom. Nobody thought it was strange. The whole family was used to that, and they paid attention. And sometimes they had Bibles all over the table. All the kids had also a Bible with them, and they read along. Read that Bible. Read a psalm every day, a piece from the Old Testament every day, a piece of the New Testament every day, with the examples and the invitations and the warnings and the threats. We need it. We need way more than anything else. So cut some time behind the computer and YouTube and Netflix, and cut some time, or cut it all off, and spend more time in the Bible. You have time. You think of all the time you're spending behind the computer and the screen, you have time, right? You have time. Seek it. Read the Bible. And consider heaven. The eternal bliss before God's face, having no sin anymore. Having the favor of the Lord, His nearness, His smile, His loving kindness. One more thing. How to fight. We need faith. True saving faith. We'd like to connect it with question 129. What does the word amen signify? What does it mean, amen? Amen signifies, shall truly and certainly be, for my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel in my heart that I desire these things of Him. Let me dwell on that for a moment. Amen, amen. Verily, verily. That's what it means. Veritas, verity. To verify. True. Truly, truly, verily, verily, the Lord Jesus often spoke those words. This is so true, this is so true. And then He said it. Verily, verily, amen, amen. Amen means I believe it. Amen means I trust it, it's true. So you read also in Ezra that he prayed a prayer with the people. And the people answered his prayer with, together saying, amen. We agree on this. We believe that. So here, child of the Lord is saying, I believe it. What do you believe? That my prayer is more assuredly heard of God than I feel. So feelings and faith are different. Your child of God says, my desire is not so strong, my feelings are always the same, but I trust in the Lord. I believe it. My prayer is more assuredly heard of God. So what then? Now go over the whole prayer. How did it begin? Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, I believe that. A child of the Lord may say, hopefully says, I believe that. That's so true. He is my Father. That's a weapon. Hallowed be thy name. That's so true. That is a prayer the Lord will hear, will assuredly hear. That His name is hallowed, thy kingdom come, the Lord will take care of that. His will be done on earth, it is in heaven. That's the Lord's will. Give us this day our daily bread. He will forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He will lead us not into temptation. He will help me through this. I trust Him. Did you ever pray a prayer at the end you said, I believe this. My prayer is heard. God hears me. Amen. Amen, God hears me. That is special. That is encouraging. There's joy in that. To pray in faith, to fight in faith, the good fight. It is the good fight of faith, right? So to pray, to stare, to meditate in God's omnipresence, to think of punishment, forgiveness, read the word, consider heaven, and all that saving faith. And the Lord will reward that. Our third thought. What the reward is of such a fight. You may say, Pastor, where do you get it from? That's not in the Hybrid Catechism. That's right. Well, it's not right. There's some hints, right? I see something of the victory of the reward. Till at last we obtain a complete victory. Is that not the reward, a complete victory? And don't I see something in question 128? This is all these we ask of thee, because thou, being our King and Almighty, art willing and able to give us all good. The reward. It's important in the Bible. The reward, the Lord does motivate his church by letting them know there is a payment, a reward, a recompense. God's children serve not for nothing, for something. Now you say, well, God's children serve the Lord for nothing. They don't do that in order to go to heaven. You think they don't care? You think that's not playing a role? It does. But not in a selfish way so much, but in a godly way. We'd like to go to heaven to enjoy the Lord, so to honor and glorify him. But let me show you from the Bible about the reward. It may entice you that young people and others may say, yes, that sounds so good. I'm going to seek the Lord. There is a reward. Well, Moses, right? Why did Moses leave Egypt? Rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had to choose, right? The pleasures of sin for a while, for a season, only for this life. Or respect unto the recompense of the reward. And Moses, let me say it in simple terms, was not dumb. His understanding was enlightened. He thought, I'd be a fool if I stay in Egypt and have those pleasures of sin for a season, for a while, and then lose everything. I'm not dumb. I'm leaving. I would like to afflict with God's people, and at least they will have the respect, they will have the recompense or the reward to always be with the Lord. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Temptation, he endures it. He resists it. He fights. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. A crown of life, a wreath, a stephanos, a wreath, a crown of life. Not one that fades, all the leaves fading, but the crown of life meaning life itself, eternal life. The Lord will give the crown of life and honor with eternal life before his face. What do you think? Does the Lord want a people that sees it as a duty to serve him, or loves and delights in serving him? What's more to God's honor? A people that says, well, I'm in heaven, but not for myself. Myself, I'm not doing it for myself. Only in the Lord. The Lord likes that? Or does the Lord love any people says, Lord, I want to be here to glorify thee. This is my greatest joy, to be in heaven, to always have communion, fellowship with the Lord. Would the Lord say, that's so selfish of you to be in heaven for that reason? They won't say that. It's his honor to have a bee before him that rejoices in him. And so the church is called to fight and to make their calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. An entrance ministered unto you abundantly. So the doors of heaven opening wide for God's people. When they fight a good fight and make their calling and election sure, having fought their whole life and receiving the complete victory. So that's the fight. You want to read for yourself 2 Peter 1 as well. So Kenneth the Lord chapter 5 and 2 Peter 1. Here is the peace. And beside this, giving all diligence add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge from the Bible, and to knowledge temperance, moderation, and to patience, to temperance, patience, not being so short-fused and so temperamented for fall, but to temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, love. And then this, verse 8, for if these things, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, love, if these things be in you and abound more and more holier, more of that, abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord gives more assurance to his people than they live holy lives. It's a rewarding. It's rewarding not only for afterwards, also rewarding for this life. It's a good fight. Not only the result is good, it's good itself. The Lord comes with it. The Lord attaches favor to it. So, the fight of temptation, the reason to fight, the need to fight, right? And how to fight. But then the reward. Bow your knees tonight, say, Lord, may I by grace follow the example of Moses and leave sin alone and fight the good fight and receive the complete victory and all good things. What a beautiful ending of a prayer. 6 petitions. And then, for the Lord, thine is the kingdom. Lord, thine is the power. And thine is the glory forever. In all these things we ask of thee, because thou being our King and almighty art willing. Thou art willing and able to give us all good, and all this we pray for, that thereby not we, but thy holy name, be glorified forever. All honor and glory to the Lord. That's why the Lord sent his Son to save the people from their sins, not for our name and glory, but for his. Amen. Lord, we hope and pray that some, or many even, may begin to fight. The good fight of faith, fighting against self and sin, and cutting ties with sin, and seeking the Lord in repentance. O Lord, give that true repentance and faith, being born again, that being drawn out of the darkness and changing, completely changing of life. Lord, will thou also bless the word in that sense, that sinners may be enticed and see the victory, the complete victory, what it will be like to always be before God's face and to rejoice from the heart. Be with us this week. Thou knowest all things planned, also the graduation. Make all things well, Lord. May all things go orderly, and may young friends, the graduates, and their parents and dear ones be grateful, bless, and be in our midst also. In Jesus' name alone, amen.